Okay, Shalom Rabose, today's daf is Sukkot Daf Lamed Tes. We're here at the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis, three lines up, Amar Rava. We've basically been talking about Hallel and different Minhagim in terms of what to say and how to say it, and whether to say a bracha and whether to double some sukkim. So Rava just comments here, he just says, Amar Rava, lo lema inish baruch haba v'hadar b'shem Hashem. And when a person is saying, right, baruch haba b'shem Hashem, right, at the end of Hallel, right, you shouldn't pause in between those two statements. Because baruch haba and b'shem Hashem is again. It just if you look at Rashi, right, it looks like the last three words of Rashi, v'michzi kemotzio levatala. It seems like you're saying the shem Hashem for no reason because you say baruch haba, right, welcome, and you pause, and then you say in the name of God. Well, it's kind of like that. In the name of God is not attached to anything. It's like you're just saying shem Hashem for no reason. It's just not so appropriate. You should make sure. Right. So as the Gemara finishes, ela baruch haba b'shem Hashem be'adadi. You should say that all together. Okay, skip the parentheses. Amar Rava, right, two lines down in Lamed Testament Aleph. Rava says further, lo lema inish yeheshmei rabba v'adir mevorach. So similarly, when you say yeheshmei rabba, right, you should say yeheshmei rabba mevorach. Right, you shouldn't say yeheshmei rabba, let God's great name, then pause, and then say in bevorach, be blessed, because, you know, again, it's the same idea. It's almost like you're mentioning God's great name for no reason, right? You're not connecting it with anything. I say, Allah, rather you should say yeheshmei rabba mevorach ba'adadi. Rather you should say them all together. Amalei Rav Safra. Rav Safra said, Moshe, right? He's referring to Rav as Moshe. That wasn't his name. That's Rashi says that was he was the God of Ador, right? He was giving him proper kavod, right? He called him the leader of the generation. So he said, Moshe, Shaper Kamata. He said, are you really saying well? Right? That doesn't make sense. Allah Hasav Ha'acha, Azuki Milsehu, Veleslanba. Right? That's not a thing. Meaning, you're not changing the meaning of what you're saying if you just take a breath in between. Right? If you just pause for a little bit, right? That doesn't change the meaning of what you're saying. Right. For example, there's a laning example in the Rosh Chodesh daf in the Rosh Chodesh laning, or maybe it's by the Tainus. The pasuk says Vayikra b'shem Hashem at the end of the pasuk. So the trup there is Vayikra b'shem Hashem, and meaning that Moshe called out the name. What was the name? Hashem. If it's Vayikra b'shem, kama Hashem. But if you pause and say Vayikra b'shem Hashem, that seems to imply that Moshe said, he called out the words b'shem Hashem, which is not true. It means that the Moshe Vayikra, he called out b'shem Hashem in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not that he said b'shem Hashem out loud. So you're changing the meaning. If you pause right there, you change the meaning. But here, says Rav Safra, you're not changing anything. What's he? Heshmei Rabba Mevorach. Well, that still is going to mean the same, that you're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the pause, says, argues Rav Safra, right, is not consequential. Okay. Makom shenagu lechvol, right, the place where the custom is to double the psukim in Hallel, that's what you do. So Tana Rebbe taught, kofa ba dvarim. Right, you should double the dvarim, right? If you look at Rashi, what does that mean? Me anava v'hala, right? After ana Hashem Oshiana and all the psukim that come after it, that's what you should double. Rabbi Elazar ben Porta mosif ba dvarim. He would add extra things that you should double. My mosif, what did he add? Amar Rabbi, mosif lichva me oducha ulamata. Right, he would add the psukim of oducha, right? As at the end of right before ana Hashem Oshiana, right? Oducha Hashem, etc. And that's sure enough. That's our minhag, right? Everything from Odecha and down, right, is doubled, right? That's what we do, right? Up until the bracha of Yehaluka, which is the last bracha, but everything else, right, up until that point, right, is doubled, and that's sure enough. That's our minhag. Levarich, levarich. If there's a minhag, the Mishnah had said, if the minhag is to make a bracha on Hallel, you should make a bracha. And as we explained, right, Amar Abaye, right, Loshna El Achrav. That's talking about the bracha afterwards, right? Like I just said, Yaluka, etc. Baruchat Hashem, Melch Malav, etc. Brachos. Avalafanov, but before Hallel, mitzvah levarich, then it's a mitzvah to say a bracha that everybody agrees. Damar Aviyud, Damar Shmuel, call mitzvahs kulan, mevarich alehen, over lasiyasin. Right? Shmuel says that everybody, every time you do a mitzvah, you have to make a bracha right before you do them, and since Hallel is a mitzvah, so you should say bracha. The Tosfos just points out, right? If this is a pretty well known Tosfos, or just simply because of the halachic ramifications that we have in terms of lulav and how you say the bracha, says the first thing Tosfos says, right? If you look at over lasiyasan, right? Mitamzat tzarich levarach alulav kodem sheitlenu, right? Apparently, right, what do you see? If you have math to make the bracha before you do the mitzvah, so you have to make the bracha on the lulav before you take it, right? The ilachar shenatlo, right? The problem is because if you took it already, if you're already holding it, as we'll learn in a couple of days, right? Midagbe nothing bay, right? You're yotze as soon as you pick it up. So Tosfos comes up with a couple of creative ways, right? And you see people doing different things, different creative ways to say the bracha before you're yotze, right? He suggests here maybe you should hold one of the items upside down, which is, I think, many people do. Many people do this, right? They have the esrog upside down and they say the bracha and then they turn the esrog around, right? But the moment they turn the esrog around, they're holding it in both of their hands, so then they're yotze the mitzvah. Some people take the lulav, say the bracha, and then pick up the esrog. Okay, right? But Tosfos has some suggestions over here. And it has a whole arichus if you want to check it out. Okay, so the Gemara says again, my mashma, so how do you know that the word over lasiyazan means that you have to make a bracha right away? Again, we saw this Gemara a couple times already in this Daf Yomi cycle, a couple times here. Where is that? Psachim for sure. Let's see, where else is it? Yeah, Psachim a couple of times, Menachos, Megillah, Nida. Okay, right, let's see, you can check out the Mesoras HaShas for all the Marim Mekomos. So Gemara continues and says, "My mashma dai over lishna de agdume hu." Right? How do you know that the word over last yosin means you do it right before you do it? You say the bracha right before you do it. How do you know where the word over seems doesn't usually mean before? How do you see that the word over means before? Damar of Nachum bar Yitzchak dechtiv. Gemara quotes three possibilities, three psukim. First of all, dechtiv pasuk says, "Vayaretz Achimatz derech hakikar vayavor es hakushi." When Achimatz and the Kushi are going to tell David that Avshalom has been killed, so Achimatz ran and he vayavor as a Kushi. He went in front of, he passed the Kushi on his way to David. Abaye says, Mihacha, from here. Who avar lifneam? That's posed by Yaakov. He said he stepped in front of his family to bow down to Esav. He still went in front of them. That's the word avar. Or another possibility, Mihacha, the posed says in Micha, yeah, vayavor milachem. Or Malkam, Milachem. Vayavor Malkam lefnehem v'Hashem barosham. Right, the king will, when Am Yisrael will come back from Galus, so the king will go in front of them, and Hashem is in front. Right, but vayavor again, Hashem he will pass in front of them. Okay, fine. New Mishnah. This Mishnah usually, right, in 6 out of 7 years is not so relevant la'alacha, but Baruch Hashem this year, especially being in Eretz Yisrael, this year is Shemitah, and this Mishnah deals exactly with Shemitah. How do you deal with the purchasing of an esrog and a lulav also, but really the esrog is more relevant during Shemitah. So says the Mishnah, halokeach lulav, and this will do for a couple of today and at least tomorrow as well. I'm not sure exactly how long it goes, but if, at least tomorrow for sure. Halokeach lulav mechaver b'shvias. Let's say you buy a lulav from your friend in Shvias. Rashi has a whole question whether it should say chavero, because he tainas that we're talking about when you purchase an esrog, as you see, the Gemara will only, it doesn't tie it. I mean, it's very clear from the Gemara. The case is here where you're purchasing an esrog from an Amaretz. An Amaretz is not familiar with the halachos of Shemitah, and we'll see exactly why that's a problem. But let's say you buy an esrog from an Amaretz during Shemitah. So the halacha is that nosin lo esrog b'matana. He should give him the esrog as a gift, meaning you're buying a dalet minim, so the esrog should be given as a gift. Lefisha ain rashai, I didn't skip a line, right? Lefisha ain rashai lelokcho b'shvias, because you're not allowed to purchase an esrog during Shemitah. Now, this is a little bit, again, the halacha, it's a little bit complicated and a little bit not precise, as we'll see in a second. The Torah does not really say that buying Shemitah produce is aser. Really, what the din is that the money needs to also be treated with Kedusha Shvias, that you have to buy food and treat it properly. And a very big misnomer that a lot of people think that you're not allowed to eat fruit of Shemitah. That's not true, right? You should be. It should be very exciting to eat Shemitah fruit, but you just have to treat it with proper Kedusha, as Kedusha Shvias. And similarly, to buy, it's a little bit of a misnomer because, right, all the complicated halachas nowadays, and obviously we're not going to do this for halacha, but it's not usher necessarily to buy Shemitah produce, but it is important that the money be treated with Kedusha Shvias properly. Obviously, and again, that means using it during Shvias, during Shemitah, to buy food and the like. Not to save it, as we'll see, as Rashi points out over here, not to save it, let's say, and store it in a bank or whatever, and to make profit and kind of have it in the bank account. That's not the point of selling of Shemitah produce. And then we're concerned, as Rashi points out over here, that the Amorites will take the money and save it, and right, he's not aware of this halacha, and therefore, we don't want to give money, buy stuff from the Amorites during Shviyas, during Shemitah. Tosu says that the concern is that not that the Amorites will save it, but that he will buy things that are inappropriate. If you look at Tosu's Dibur Maskul She'ein, right, it says over here that if you look at like the third or fourth line, right, it could be right in Amharitz Nizhar, his language is lesser liknos behen behema tmeya avadim karkos cholok talis. He's going to buy all these things that are not relevant to Shemitah, right, and that is right not appropriate, right. Really, the Torah, you have to use Shemitah and Shemitah produce and the funds that you get from selling Shemitah produce to buy other food, etc. Okay, so either way, we're concerned that you're going to give this money to an Amharitz, he's not going to use it properly. Right, it's a little bit of a lifnei iver situation over here. Okay. Right, that's what Rashi quotes that at the end of that Dibur Maskal Ein. Okay, says the Gemara, Lo ratza litin lo b'matana mahu. What happens now if the Amorites does not want to give him as a gift the Esrog? Right, meaning normally, right, I don't know if you buy a set. So usually this is not an issue. Obviously, most of the sellers of lulav and esrogim are not necessarily amoratzim, but it could be that some are. So what do you do when you're buying an esrog? During Shemitah. Now, this is, again, also a bit confusing in that the halacha lamaisa, as we'll see at the end of the day, and also tomorrow, lamaisa, this is not a problem until the eighth year. It's the year after Shemitah. Buying esrogim on Shemitah, let's say in a month from now, right, is not going to be a problem. It's really only a problem the year after Shemitah for reasons we'll see in a second. So it's not exactly precise, but certainly nowadays that's the case. But either way, let's say you're buying a lulav. Let's just say for argument's sake, as the Mishnah framed it, right? You're buying a lulav and an esrog set during Shemitah or that has kedusha shvius, right? So what happens if you, again, the halacha is, says the Mishnah, you have to give the esrog as a matana, right? Let's say the Amoritz does not want to. So Amarav Huna, what do you do if he doesn't want to give it as a matana? So, and this is taka what the sellers do. The mavliya le dmei esrog bululav velesi le behedya. You just literally means swallow up the money from the esrog, but you basically charge an arm and a leg for the lulav, and you get the entire set. Meaning, normally if you'd pay, I don't know, $100 for a lulav and esrog set, right, that's a hilarious sum in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, it's 100 maybe shekel, 150 shekel. But either way, let's say $100, just for argument's sake. Usually the esrog is what costs. So during Shemitah, when you can't really buy the esrog, so the lulav is what costs, and then you buy it. It's the same price, but you're just paying quote unquote for the lulav and not for the esrog. You notice that difference when you go to a shuk. Right? I don't know if you have this in America, but definitely all over Israel you have this. At least Yerushalayim, you go to this massive shuk, this massive marketplace where they're selling all the dalaminim individually. So there it gets complicated because the lulavim are a fortune and the esrogim cost nothing. So that usually, again, it's all right. Anyway, lamaisa, like I said, this year is not necessarily lacha. It's probably next year. But says the Gemara, Amar Avinu Mavli. Okay, we did that right. Fine, exactly. Pay the money for the lulav and you get the esrog together. Lefisha in motion to make peres b'shvius la'amaretz, because you can't give money, right? You can't buy fruit. You can't give money to an amaretz. To buy fruit from Amaretz during Shemitah, the Tanya has another right. In motion to make parents Shvius not Amaretz, Yosim Mazon Shalosh Sudos. You're not allowed to give money for fruit or for produce from an Amaretz during Shemitah if it's more than the meals of three meals. Meaning, we assume that if you're giving him money for three meals worth, he will spend it on food. The three meals, Rashi points out, comes from Shabbos, and once it's butter to give it to him for Shabbos, you might as well get it for the rest of the year. But the minimum share that you're allowed to give, the maximum share, rather, that you're allowed to give him is the amount of food, the amount of money it takes to buy three meals. V'masar, but if you did give him, let's say, enough money for 10 meals, so what should you do? What does the Talmud Chacham do? What does the Chaver do if he's giving the money to that Amaretz and he bought Peres Shvius and he doesn't know what to do? So V'masar, Yomar, he should say, Hare Maos Halalu Yu Mechulala No Peres Sheishli Bezoch Beso. He should be mechalal, he should transfer the kedusha of the money to produce that he already has in his house, and then ubava ochlam kedusha shvias, then he can go home and he can properly eat that produce, even though that produce, let's say, was from the year before. Right? Now that produce has kedusha shvias, and he will know, obviously, how to treat it with respect, and then everything is fine. So when I said, when is this? What are we talking about? That is only belokeach min hamufkar. That's only if we're buying from an amaretz that we know that he got the produce from a hefker field. Right, we're not allowed to, you know, during the Shemitah, the Pesuk says, right, that you're not allowed to lock off your field. Everybody has to be able to get it. Right, you can't, you know, close it off or guard it or watch it in any way. Right, everybody has to be able to get access to this field. So if the field that the Amorites is selling you fruit from is hefker, it does not belong to anybody, it's open, available to take, so that's fine. But if you're taking it and you know the Amorites was guarding, right, this field, so then, even if you're paying him a half an isar, which is a half of a coin, right? Even that small amount, even that's usur. Right? If you look again, if you look at Rashi, right? He says because then nechshad leinyan she'eino mafker laniyam, we're concerned, right? He's not being mafker his food. V'haramahi shemochon al yad, right? We're concerned the Amorites is playing a game here. He's not mafkering his field. Right? We don't want to encourage purchasing from an Amorites if he's really not following the halachas of Shavuos whatsoever. Masav Rav Shesha. So Rav Shesha asked the following question. One second. We said that if the Amorites is getting his produce from a hefker field, that's all good. You can give him up to 3 meals worth, and then that's totally fine. But more than that, right, we're concerned that the Amorites is going to keep the money, he's going to hoard it away, according to Rashi, or according to Tosfos, he's going to buy, let's say, clothing with it, which is inappropriate. Or many, hold on, 1 second, I'll ask you a question from a Braisa. Hapigim v'yarvuzin v'ashitin v'chalgloglos v'chalglogos, okay, v'akuzbar shebaharim v'akarpas shebenaharos v'agargir she'efer, and all of these things, all of these different types of produce. The common thing is that they're not valuable. They're very tiny. They're very, not tiny, but they're very invaluable. They're very cheap plants. So we assume, paturim in a meiser, they are potter. First of all, they're potter from meiser. As we'll see in a second, they're basically hefker. Right? V'nikhin mikol adem shvias, and you can buy them from anybody during Shemitah. Because no one is guarding them, right? We assume that they were grown in a hefker field, right? Lefisha'in kayotze behem nishmar. So meaning because they're not guarded, meaning they're not worth almost anything. So we assume that it came from hefker, right? And you're allowed to buy from them during Shmias. And this Mishnah does not say anything about the 3 meal limit. So apparently you're allowed to buy as much as you want from anybody who's selling this stuff. So Gemara says, "Who most of love ha'hu mafarikla." So Rav Sheshes asked this question, and then he answered it. Right? Bekidei man shanu. They said, "No, the Braisa is talking about a scenario where you bought with only up to 3 meals worth, but more than that would be inappropriate." V'chinam Rabbi Baruchan or Rabbi Yochanan, right? Bekidei man shanu. Right. So sure enough, Rabbi Yochanan explained this Braisa also as to be talking about when you paid him up to 3 meals worth. My mashma da haiman lishan of the mizonehu. Had a very strange question. How do you know that the word man implies food? If you thought that was a strange question, it's even a stranger answer. I would have been like, well, yeah, because the food in the desert was called man. That's not what the pasuk says. That's not what the Gemara says. Gemara quotes a different pasuk, an obscure pasuk in Daniel. Right? It says, "Vayiman lehem amelech," right? That the king, right, gave them sustenance, right? Which is, again, just very, very strange. Why wouldn't you say the word, use mon as the proof? Or why would you even ask that question? But okay, either way. So bottom line, right, we have this this isra you shouldn't get, pay for an esrog. Right, you have this whole back and forth how much you can actually buy from an Amoritz if the field is hefker. But tachlis, you should get the esrog. L'chadchila, you should get the esrog as a gift. So now Gemara says, Yihachi, if that's true, it's a lulav nami. Right, so So why shouldn't you do the same thing with the lulav? Right, as we'll see. I think tomorrow will be another that lulav also has an issue of some sort of issue of kedusha shvius. So why is it only the esrog? The Gemara says lulav barshisha is hanichnas lashviusu, because in Shemitah, right, the lulav that you're buying in Shemitah, it was from the 6th year, right? It's not from the 7th year. Well, it's theoretically, again, it's a little bit more convoluted nowadays la halacha, but let's say theoretically back in the day, right, the esrog that you bought on for Sukkot would have Kedusha Shmiyas, but if you buy a lulav, let's say on Yud Aleph Tishrei, so that's going to be a 6th year lulav, whereas the esrog might be a 7th year lulav. As we'll see, it depends on, well, we'll see in a second. Right? So the Gemara says, okay, Yihachi, well, if that's true, then you're telling me that if you're buying something on Yud Aleph Tishrei, it's going to be a 6th year lulav, so Yihachi, etrog nami bar shishas nechnas l'shviyasi. Well, esrog is also going to be a 6th year esrog. As the Gemara says, Esrog Basra Lakita Azlinan. And this is going to, we're going to pause here, because this is going to take us into discussion on tomorrow. But the Gemara, at least at this point, assumes, right, that an Esrog, according to, for an Esrog, we follow based on the day it was picked. whereas the lulav, right, is usually is a tree, right? That's obviously a tree. A lulav is always a tree, right? So that is designated as what year it is. That's when it started to grow, meaning when the buds, when it had a chanata, when it started to emerge, when it started to come out of the tree, when it started to grow. So therefore, if you're going to take a fully grown lulav on Yod Aleph Tishrei, so it must have started to grow in, you know, I don't know how long it takes, but many months ago. So that's definitely a sixth year lulav. But an esro goes based on the day when you pick it. At this point in the Gemara. So theoretically, you pick an Esrog on Yud Alef Tishrei, so that's a Shemitah year Esrog. And that's why you have to have the special halachos by the Esrog and not necessarily by the Lulav. Okay, we're going to question this and we're going to go on to take us to discussion tomorrow, but we'll stop here. Have a great day or night, depending on where you are listening to this.